Welcome to the Advanced Leadership Podcast, accelerating your growth as a leader.
Hey, everybody out there, welcome back to episode 3 of the Advanced Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Vance Martin, and it is fantastic to be back with you. Today, I've got a really special guest, a good friend of mine. I wonder if I'm ever going to say in an opening of a podcast, today I have a guest who I hate and I don't care what they say. Probably not. But I do have a lot of great people that I'm around all the time that are way smarter than me. And this is one of those people. And you, if you don't know this person, you should know them. And by the end of this episode, I think you're going to know why. Today we're talking about values. Values are core to who we are. And whether you know it or not, your values are driving your daily decisions. It is shaping who you are. Your values are important. They shape your vision. They shape your future. There's a Roy Disney quote. This is not Walt Disney, but Roy Disney. He says, "When your values are clear to you, making decisions becomes easier." And that is so true. Because the values of your life, your personal values, it is the lens in which you see the world. So today we're talking about what are your values. And my hope is that one, after you leave this episode, you are going to have a greater sense of challenge and intensity about clarifying what your values are if you haven't already. Today on the podcast, I've got Joshua Dinhart, and the first time that he and I talked, he blew my mind because he's an intense guy, but he said, "Hey, you need to know about me, and here's my values." And he literally went through them. We'll dump into it in the podcast, but what inspired me about this is this gives Josh freedom to do and not do what he believes God is calling him to. And so we're going to explore what his values are and then how he came about these values. And my goal is to challenge you to figure out what your values are. And like Roy Disney says, when you know what your values are and they're clear to you, making decisions become easier. So let's jump into the interview with Josh Dinhart. Well, welcome to the interview portion of the podcast today. I am so excited. When I was thinking about launching this podcast, there was a short list of people that I reached out to first. And I think you might have actually been the first.
That's awesome.
But My good friend, I would say we're relatively new friends.
It is.
But we are new friends. We've progressed in our friendship pretty quickly.
Yes.
I feel a deep connection with you. I have today on the podcast the one, the only, the unmatched Josh Dinhart.
Josh, well, thanks for having me, man.
Here. Thanks for jumping on the podcast.
Yeah, and I would say if anybody has been in ministry for any length of time and you've ever taken a group of kids to camp, let's say,
yes,
and when two different churches get off the bus, you know, Vance, you and I would have found each other very quickly.
Yeah,
and the leaders
absolutely
would be like, "Oh man, these two are a pair." So that would have been us.
Well, and we probably would have been scheming how to get our churches to win all the competitions.
For sure.
As well. Absolutely. In a friendly, godly way, of
yes
course.
But we are literally cut from the same wool. And so that's why I think our friendship just went there fast and has been a real value to me. You know, I really do appreciate it. So I'm excited about this interview,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, me too. One of the things that I so appreciate about you in our first conversation, and I think this is so typical you and anybody that's ever connected with you personally, your intensity and your love for God is just infectious. But we just started talking, and you said, well, let me tell you, let me help you understand who I am. And you told me to get out my pencil. And so I'm on the phone for the first time, and I'm scribbling this, you know, like the graph that you're telling me to draw to help unpack your values
right.
for your life and for your ministry. And I walked away from that feeling like, why don't I have values for my life? I need to, I need to come up with some values for my life. And I think today, you know, as we're sitting down, it's mid-July or getting towards the late July, 2020, yeah. the year that will live in infamy.
It sure will.
And if there's ever a time that godly leaders need to know, understand, and have something to die for, die on the hill for, it's their personal values. Because the world has some values that they are trying to espouse and push.
And during this insanity, if you don't have any type of filter as to what you ought to be doing, you're going to be going in all kinds of crazy yep. directions. And
absolutely.
Your opportunity for a life of impact with your one and only life quite possibly will be compromised.
Yes. You've developed several things. You're very much an entrepreneur. One of the things that you've developed, I think, is I'm seeing as having huge impact in the kingdom and specifically in the children's ministry space because it's so needed,
yes.
Is your Lead Volunteers course.
Yes.
And I've dug into the content. It's amazing. But I think the Lead Volunteers course, it is something that is kind of the poster child for
my values.
For your values.
It is
all the things. It probably is the same values. When I look at it, I go, yeah, this is all your values. So Josh, what I would love to I think, because I've already learned this from you, and
yes.
I think what would be so valuable for people is, one, walk us through your values.
Yes.
And then I would love to explore how you got to that point. Because that's not an easy thing. So first, dig into what are your ministry values.
Yeah. So I'm going to do the same thing that I did for you on the phone. If anybody is listening to this, take out your pencil and write down the letters G-O-O-S-E, goose. Now, why did I come up with that? Because there have been plenty of times where people
are like, I'm Maverick, you're yeah. goose.
Yes, so that's right. Thank you. I like that. Goose,
uh-huh.
Maverick. Okay, some people out there are still getting that, but
they're
like,
what?
But the reason why I came up with this goose is because there's been times, plenty of times, where I was sharing this with someone and I'm like, oh my word, what is number three? And so I had to come up with some type of an acronym, even for myself. So everybody out there, write down goose, G-O-O-S-E. My five values. Number one, G is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you,
mm-hmm.
If anybody experiences any type of success in their life, other opportunities are going to be drawn out of the woodwork. And Vance, you know what I'm talking about. You are a successful
yep.
person.
Yep.
And as soon as you experience any success, other people are like, hey, wow, there's a successful person. I want to either hitch my wagon to them or I want them to do something yep. for me. You see what I'm saying? So
yes.
I have plenty of opportunities, but I have to filter those. So my five filters, the first one is, does this have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? If it does not directly
right.
deal with the gospel, I'm telling you, I'm out. I'm not going to participate because
mm-hmm.
I have one and only life. I believe firmly that my one and only life with no redos, this is the means by which I'm going to be laying up treasure in heaven. I'm not going to be spending my one
yes.
and only life on anything other than furthering the gospel. That is an absolute for me. So
it's an eternal perspective.
Eternal perspective. If an opportunity comes my way, okay, does this fundamentally have to do with the gospel? If it does, okay, you've met the first criterion, the checkpoint, right? Go ahead.
Could I ask you a clarifying
sure.
question on that? And I think this might be helpful for people because when I think we hear gospel, we automatically think about, obviously gospel means good news.
Yes.
So when you say gospel of Jesus Christ, and the way I think you're describing it is not just something that is the gospel as you know, evangelical, as an kind of evangelistic
term. No, it's way bigger than that.
It's the kingdom. It is things that are contributing to
Does this help the kingdom of God, or am I selling e-cigarettes? I mean, come on, right?
Right.
I mean, that sounds dorky, right? But I'm telling you, like, does this further the kingdom, or is this just a personal venture? No, it can be a personal venture as long as it somehow furthers the kingdom. So leave ears. You know, my ministry with science, those things, are they moving the kingdom forward? So that's value number one. Is it kingdom oriented? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So value number one, gospel. Value number two, overwhelm by excellence. Overwhelm by excellence. So another value of mine is that I want whatever I touch or whatever I do, I want it to be beyond top shelf.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, as I came into the church world in terms of a pastor, I just noticed that a lot of resources that are put out in Christianity are subpar. I'm sorry.
Right.
And I have noticed that a lot of, they're like, I'm not sure what goes through people's minds. If it's on one hand that where people are like, you know, it's for the church.
It's good enough.
It's good enough. And I don't have that value. It is not good enough. I want it to scream excellence. Now I'm talking in terms of video content, video quality, written content, my website. I want everything. Now, by the way, I had this value long before I entrepreneurially kind of had offerings for the grander church at large. This was a value of mine when I was a high school chemistry teacher, undercover for the Lord, if that makes sense, right? My chemistry classroom, my presentations, my ethic at school was absolutely top shelf. I wanted to stand out with excellence. When I was a pastor at the church, we were not going to do things at a B minus level. Not going to happen. And so I am going to strive for A minus, A plus, it's going to be top shelf. So overwhelmed by excellence. Does that make sense to you?
It does. How do you balance being a perfectionist and that, because excellence can become chasing the sunset.
That's right.
Can be chasing the horizon.
Totally get it.
So at what point do you say, what is good enough?
It's kind of very subjective.
So how do you, is excellence for you? I consider that excellent. And so therefore it is.
Okay. That's a great question, because all of a sudden it comes down to unto whose eyes is this determined? I have a very, very, very high ethic and a very high standard, but I have to say, at what point do you draw the line? And I have an answer for that. I would say that I am always struggling with, and my wife or myself or another friend of mine I will ask myself, hey, are you trying to put gold plating on the undercarriage of the car where no one will ever see it? Is that really necessary? Because I would be a guy who'd be like, oh, dude, gold plating under the car would be killer. Okay, well, that has a very...
With those LED lights that flash?
Okay, the LED lights can be seen. I'm willing to put those on. But if I was going to, like the undercarriage, you got to lay on the ground and scoot under to see the gold plating under the car. I don't know, man. I don't think that the time or the money or the effort is really going to have the payoff that I would want. And so I do... Yep. Listen, I'm telling you, I have to curtail my passion for excellence and say, okay, enough is enough. Okay. Now here's another thing, another way to look at this, especially when I was in the church, as a pastor for 10 years, I had to come to terms with the idea that 12 B pluses was better than 3 A minuses. Now let me unpack that a little bit.
Yes.
I had to determine that I wanted to have a lot of really great things as opposed to only a few top tier excellent things. Because if I wanted to take one B plus ministry, fifth and sixth grade ministry, and I wanted to make it shine ever so brightly, I knew that that was probably going to take me an extra 6 hours a week to take it from a B plus to an A minus. And was that the greatest investment of my time? Or was it better to have 12 B pluses and everything is humming right along, it's top shape, but does it need gold plating on the undercarriage of the car? So I had to determine 12 B pluses is better than having only 3 A minuses. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think when it comes to ministry, one of the things that we can overlook sometimes is if I'm, this is the way I used to approach ministry, is that I would get on my, on a whiteboard with my staff team, and I'd draw kind of like what looked like a, you know, circles like a tornado. And I'd say, we're going to continuously, we work on this, raise the level, we move on, we work on the next thing, we raise the level. And it's a constant
you
know, raising the water level
of everything.
What is our job? It's to continuously improve. So we're not going to focus on one thing until it becomes perfect, while everything else, you know, all of them are leaky buckets.
Yes.
And so we're going to put water in this one. We're going to put water in this one. We're going to put water in that one. We're going to put, and over time, you can raise the bar and get to where you want to go and have 12 things instead of
absolutely. Three. And so that would be the balance to that. Again, does this need gold plating on the undercarriage of the car? The answer is likely no.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the deal though. We're going to come back to this overwhelm with excellence in a couple of, we're going to circle back with one of the other values to that. So stick with it. So the first one is gospel. Does it have to do with moving the kingdom of God and the gospel forward? Check.
Yep.
Number two, overwhelmed by excellence. Check. Number three, one rabbit laser focus.
There you go.
He who chases two rabbits catches none. And I see way too many leaders. They are squirrel, you know, running after every, they are shiny thing out of the sidelight of their eye, and they're off to this other thing over here. I see it all the time. And so a level of focus and choosing to say no. Listen, a good solid yes helps the next 1,000 no's happen automatically. Let me say that again.
Yep.
A good solid yes makes the next 1,000 no's almost a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when you say we have a finite amount of energy and time, saying yes to anything is by default saying no to something else.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of leaders think that they have the capacity to do it all. And you just fundamentally do not. And I've seen a lot of, now work with me now, there are different leaders that are out there, and there are some that are visionary leaders. And I have worked with some, I have worked for some, and I am one of those. But I have watched super visionary leaders. They want to chase everything. And it's to their own detriment because every single idea, every single new ministry, every single program, every single product, every one of those is going to come with a set of problems that must be addressed. And I have watched ministry leaders literally get strung out trying to, and they don't think ahead that this is going to have a multitude of difficulties. Everything has difficulties. God said in the scriptures, you're going to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. You're going to be working against thorns and thistles. It is hard work. And if you don't choose wisely, you're going to be overwhelmed by thorns and thistles because of the volume of things that you're trying to accomplish. Therefore, one rabbit, pick one, run that thing down until you catch it. And then let's talk possibly about another rabbit.
Yeah, that I think it's interesting how all of your values so far that you've mentioned, they all are interconnected.
They're deeply interconnected.
They all, yeah.
So okay. So let me interconnect it for us if somebody hasn't caught this yet. So to overwhelm by excellence means that I can't do 50 things.
Right.
So the one rabbit laser focus is inexplicably tied to overwhelmed by excellence. If I have three rabbits that I'm chasing, my level of excellence is going to automatically dwindle for each one of those. So those are how those are connected. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. All right. So you've got two more, and I want to make sure that we have time to now this is just gold on its own.
Yes.
But so I think
But we got some more. I'll turn it into hyperdrive.
Right. You got the bonus is going to be how do we get to this point? So yes, okay. Go through your two and I'm not going to interrupt you. You go for it, unless it's just too good to pass up.
Okay.
But
okay.
This is great stuff. Go, Josh.
So G, gospel. O, overwhelmed by excellence. O, one rabbit laser focus. The next one, S, is slow to grow. Listen, I am not a snake who can detach its jaw and swallow a goat in one bite. It is going to take time. And I have to be committed to the idea that I'm going to be slow to grow. I'm going to methodically, like you said, I'm going to slowly raise the water level and then raise it again. And I'm always looking at a 2.5 to 5 year investment. I'm not going to rush this. Nothing happens overnight. Whenever I've sought to create something, I can say this. It usually takes twice as long, and it usually costs twice as much. Those are just givens. So I've got to be committed to the long-haul approach. If I'm going to put my hand to that new idea, I had better understand that it's going to take some serious commitment, and I'm going to stick with that for a while. So gospel, overwhelmed by excellence, one rabbit laser focus, slow to grow. And the last one really is an important one for me. Everything automated. That's E, everything automated.
I like that one. That's my
favorite. If this idea cannot be automated, I am absolutely out because it's not going to work in my system. It's not going to work for my life system. And so I work from a real heavy duty standpoint of automation, right? Whether it's digital automation, whether it's analog automation, if I'm going to do something more than three times, I'm going to build a system for that thing to self-replicate and run itself almost. That's how I run my life, right? And so even lead volunteers, yes, it has to do with moving the gospel forward. Yes, I have sought to. There's not another course like it in the whole world, right? Nothing exists like this. So gospel, overwhelmed by excellence. I'm not chasing a whole bunch of rabbits. I have determined that leading volunteers and helping the church do that is important for me. I have chosen to make this thing happen. It's taken a long time. I'm committed to that. But I have all kinds of systems in place to make sure that everything from digital delivery to when somebody hits 75% of a video, they're going to get an automated text that congratulates them. All of these random things I've built in so that it's excellent, but it doesn't require my direct attention.
Well, and I think one of the things that, you know, what the listener out there might be thinking, they're like, well, I'm not developing a course, but automation can simply mean I'm not the one doing it.
That's
the whole premise of lead volunteers is automation of ministry.
That's it.
I'm the curator of these people that are carrying out the functions of the ministry in my local church.
Let me give you an idea of one of the ones that was truly revolutionary. And I think any listener out there could apply what I'm getting ready to share directly to their ministry. So years ago, I was an attender at the church that I ended up becoming on staff on. So I attended the church for 6 years. The church had been in existence for 11. I came on staff and before too long, I was handed all baptisms and all infant dedications at the church. Okay. Interestingly enough, the church had been around for 11 years, but every single time we did baptism, it was a complete freak out. And it was as if the church had never done a baptism before. And I'm literally not kidding, Vance. Like, you've been in existence for 11 years and baptism is catching you off guard again. And so me and another ministry leader at the church, we created an Excel spreadsheet that you entered the date of baptism, and it pre-calculated through fields everything that needed to happen leading up. 3 months out, this person got an email, and here's the blurb that goes into the e-newsletter. On this date, the person who fills the tank, literally, you're getting an email, don't forget to fill the tank. And by the way, you got another email that said, don't forget to put the heater in that tank. You follow what I'm saying? So every conceivable tactic that needed to take place was all predetermined by entering one date of when baptism was going to take place. That is automating everything.
Well, and what does that do? It gives you free time to interface with
people. And you cannot automate, you took the words out of my mouth. You cannot automate people tasks. And so if I could automate everything else, that frees me up to do the items that need my absolute personal God, heart, Holy Spirit influence personal interactions. You hit the nail on the head.
So, okay. So those, just going through your personal values, I think that was worth the price of admission.
Okay.
Right there. That was good stuff. But I'm curious, how did you cultivate and decide these are your values? You know, did it just hit you one day? Did you go through a process? Did you get away on a mountain somewhere and intercede with God and it came to you? What was the process? If somebody out there is like, I need to develop values for my life, what would you recommend to them to develop their own personal and ministry values?
Yeah, I would say that it did not happen overnight. It wasn't like on the Matrix when all of a sudden I lay down in the chair and the guy inserts kung fu boxing or whatever. And all of a sudden, so it wasn't like all of a sudden I sat down and boom, it was there. It was over, somebody would say to me, and I would kind of a joke here, but they would say, wow, Josh, like how long did it take you to come up with these values? And I would say, about 45 years, give or take a few days. Basically my whole life.
Right. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, this has been an ongoing process and it's been a process of trial and error. Of course, there have been some influential books. One of the books was by a guy named Gino Wickman and it was called Attraction. Was a very pivotal book. It's a business book, but I've read a lot of business books with a ministry lens and they've helped me a ton. So this book, Attraction, kind of walked me through the tactics of how would I come up with a life or a business or a ministry value set. I would say that's when reading that book and going through those exercises probably was the crystallization of these things that had been bouncing around for a long time. The other thing too, Vance, is that why did I come up with these, or what was the impetus to come up with these? Well, as I said earlier, when you have any level of success, other people are bound to come to you and say, oh my word, have I got God's will for your life? Really? Have you ever had that happen?
Yeah.
Where people want to.
He didn't speak to me, but that's awesome that he would tell you.
Yes. And of course, it'll come out that overtly. But at the end of the day, when people see someone who is succeeding and has some modicum of success, or they're passionate about something, they're like, man, I've been looking my whole life for a person to pull off what I think God needs and wants for this world. And so I have to, and I have been hijacked by other people. And I was like, whoa, how did I find myself here? That doesn't fit necessarily with what I want to do. And so I've made a few mistakes over my life. By the way, one time, this sounds really dorky, but I was really passionate as a teacher about gardening. I loved gardening. Why did I like that? Because as a teacher, I had kids that were in process all the time. And I read someplace where it said, teachers or pastors should do gardening. Why? Because you plant the seed and then you have the harvest and you have that fruit and then you can tear it down. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And in ministry or in teaching, everybody's in process and you don't ever really have any finality. And so I was doing that and I was really passionate about it. And again, I think I would be a personality given to obsession. And as a person who can get easily obsessed with something, I was obsessed for a season with gardening, but it didn't, all of a sudden I was like, whoa. How does gardening and going this hard out, how does this affect the gospel? And I was like, well, it doesn't. So I was like, wait, kill it. I'm out. I'm not gardening anymore. I don't know. I mean, I'm a pretty cutthroat person. So my wife, she does a little bit of gardening, but like I have the propensity or even the personal proclivity toward obsessive behaviors. You know what I mean? And so I have to really make sure that what I'm going to touch is going to have, the largest value. I mean, at the end of the day, Vance, I don't want to put my ladder against the wrong building and climb to the top only to realize my ladder was against the wrong building. I want to make sure before I start climbing that my ladder's on the right side. So, so the reason and the way that I come up with these values is truly as a filter to say, okay, Josh, hang on, before you touch that, does it fit all of these five things? And if it doesn't, you better not do it. That's not, you're going to regret this. And so it was after a lot of time of of finding myself 13 miles, 18 miles down the road figuratively on something that I probably shouldn't have put my hand on, that I realized, how did I get here? How did I get here? How did I start this thing? And then I was like, wow, that doesn't really fit. And so then again, these values kind of crystallized and have really been a very powerful thing for me.
You know, when I think I've gone through exercises like this in the past, and I'm sure that there's people out there that have done this before. And it would seem that for you, this has become more than just an exercise. This is something truly that you live by.
No question.
How do you take something that's a, hey, this is a fun exercise to think about what my values are. How does somebody take it from a dead document that they type out to something that is lived out and becomes the
embodiment, really?
Yeah, the embodiment and the lens in which they live their life. How did you make that transition?
Yeah, I you know, the funny thing is that is an excellent question, and I am kind of a driven person. And again, I think
really. I didn't pick up on that, man.
Yeah. I would say truly, as I said just a second ago, having some false starts, having some fails, having some being taken on a ride by somebody else to carry out their vision. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I think those things caused me to really ask the question, well, what about you? This is literally your one and only life. Are you cool with misspending it? Are you cool with spending it on somebody else's dream? Or like, you know, I mean, the other thing too, Vance, that I think is really important, St. Augustine said it, I think Aristotle said it before him, know thyself. Know thyself. And so for me, as I began to, and it's been a lifetime opportunity to learn these things, but as I've discovered who I am, and my not just passions, but also like my spiritual gifting, my abilities. Again, that kind of curtails to how, like, I'm a unique tool in the toolbox of God. Vance, you are a unique tool. Every one of the listeners are a unique tool in the toolbox of God. And do you know how you could be used? If you don't know that, I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
Yes, for me, absolutely. I think people can just be run, they don't know who they are. And that's a terrible place to just be blown by every wind of change. And if you begin to know who you are, then you can begin to discover, wow, what path ought I take, right? But you know, some people are not goal-driven people. Let's just throw that out there. I don't want to shame anybody listening who has, who went through the exercise.
Absolutely.
They have the document. It's still sitting on a shelf. Maybe it's not your jam, right? I happen to be wired this way. So I want freedom, because not everybody's going to live dogmatically with this set of five core values. You know what I mean? I may be unique that way. I want to give
right. Reason. Sure. Well, and I think at the end of the day, what you're talking about with people being blown from one thing to another.
Yes.
I think at the core of that, it's people trying to find their identity. And so whether it's you have a five bullet list that you live by, find your identity in who you are in Christ.
Yes.
And if you can at least get to that core of who I am and how I fit into the body of Christ, and who he says I am, if you can at least get that, you will have less of a propensity to be drawn to things that aren't in alignment with the values that God has placed in you. You will automatically see through those things. You'll have a lens to see, you know what? I don't have to say yes to that person just because I want them to like me and
That's
I like
exactly
that
right.
thing. That's not what God wants for my life. And so whether it's getting a five list or a 10 list, the one thing is, who does God say you are, and why has he created you? Like what tool are you in the toolbox?
Absolutely, man. Couldn't agree more. Vance, this is good, man.
Yeah, this is great. Thank you so much for taking some time. I know that it's inspired me to refine my values. And
yes.
I think for everybody out there, if you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing.
Oh, that's and the truth. Okay, that's the essence of what we're talking about. And so as we conclude this podcast episode, that's the essence of it.
Yeah,
I'm not willing to stand for nothing. I'm willing, like, these are things that have helped me to determine what my stance is, right?
Yeah, yeah. And if I'm not willing to fight for this value or this thing, it's probably not worth putting. It's really not a value for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Josh. I appreciate it, man. And everybody out there, if you want to get in touch with Josh, Josh, what's the best way for them to reach you, learn about you, social media stalk you, all the
sure.
things?
So just Joshua Denhart on Facebook. I would say go to leadvolunteers.com. That would be a mm-hmm. great starting point to figure out, you know, really in a sense, how my life can be actually, like, you could leverage the tool that God has in the toolbox, because I am creating tools for other yep. people based on who I am. And so I am a developer of others, and this is the fast track that I have found to help other people in ministry get better at recruiting, training, and retaining volunteers.
Okay, was I wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. I hope that was inspiring to you, and I hope that you're challenged to think through what are your personal and ministry values to make sure that you stand for something, to give you clarity to see what God has created you to be and created you to do. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the Advanced Leadership Podcast. If you have not yet, subscribe and leave a review. That helps us out. It helps other people see the podcast. And also, we have a Facebook page where we can interact together, and check us out on Twitter and Instagram and all the things. Hey, thanks for joining us today on the Advanced Leadership Podcast, accelerating your growth as a leader.